Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Rose Brantz. And today on the show, doesn't Pride seem so far away?
Well, not as far as you think. And Darren is here to give us some news on that.
And LGBT, can't even say that, people of colour.
I didn't type it all out, I only put the letters, you see. So, Mary caught up with Travis, who gave a talk at the LGBT History Month. All that coming today, you might hear on Shout Out. Everyone.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello. How are we all? Welcome to new studio, Rose.
Yes, indeed. It's very big and shiny and stuff. I must tell you that the roadworks on the M5 are even worse than usual.
Oh, are they?
all those 50
about three sections of them. I don't understand it.
All the 50-mile-an-hour stuff.
Yeah, well, they did have a really long section that went past Gloucester Services. Now, that was worth it because Gloucester Services is fantastic.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's a doorway to a better life.
20-mile stretches of roadworks, which I don't understand what they're for.
Oh, it's the...
If it's not for a service station, I'm never coming to Bristol again.
It's the safety fences. They're being upgraded.
Yeah, to keep
to concrete. So you hit them, the car gets wrecked.
Oh, there we go. Excellent.
Anyway, would you like some good news?
What is the good news?
We're doing lots of stuff on Pride today, aren't we? But one of the things that Shoutout's involved with is a fundraiser for Pride that Ivan's been putting together, which is Justin Utley's coming across from America again, and he's going to sing for us all.
Marvellous.
And tickets are now on sale.
Ah, and where are they on sale?
Well, if you go to tickets.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
You've been practicing that, haven't you, all week? And even I know it's on April the 8th.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Well, I hope you know when it is. You're helping.
Yes, I know. Ironworks.
So I'm looking forward to seeing this Ironwork. I've never been there before, and Ivan says it's a really, really cool place.
Yeah, and they're quite new to hosting live music, aren't they? I think they're kind of keen to kind of make it a thing. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a nice little venue. Apparently, you can get pizza while you're listening to Justin.
Oh, sign me up. Justin Utley and pizza.
Yeah. I wouldn't like that if I was an artist. Because people will be chatting and stuff while you're singing.
Well, we're going to put Justin... Great. Hopefully, we're going to put him on a stage and raise him up a little bit. So, because it is a kind of long bar.
Yeah, okay.
From what I understand.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
No, neither have I. I've been helping Ivan with all the prep with it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But, yeah.
Sweet.
So, we're going to raise him up a bit. We'll put some lighting on him. We've got a PA system in there as well. So, you will be able to hear him.
Yeah, of course.
And hopefully, people won't be rude enough to talk all over the top of him. Because he's a good singer. He's coming all the way from America. So.
He has, No, he's a great artist. No, it would be terrible if people spoke over him. There we go.
You don't like it when we speak over you, do you?
No, it's awful.
Awful. Yeah.
Still trying to work out what I'm doing here.
I know. Yes.
I do it quite regularly because I'm still a bit of a new at this, and I'm so eager to share what's in my brain at every single moment. Whether you want to hear it or not.
It's the laughing that's the worst. When everyone laughs into the microphone, it just blows all the levels on the desk.
Yeah.
Apparently, when you're professionally trained, just you learn to move back a bit when you laugh. But because we're all kind of like community now, we all forget.
Yeah.
And you just watch all the levels on the desk go bright red, and it's just like, oh, whoops.
Going a bit warm.
So, anyway, should we do some events?
Go on then.
Yeah. So OutShout, our pick of the best events. We've got two of you this week. This is quite exciting.
Well, Tara's doing the events and I come in to prattle nonsense.
My safety defence.
Yeah,
so Tara's second time on the radio, so be nice.
Yeah. Slightly nervous.
So what are we talking about?
I thought you were an old hat at it.
No. I've been interviewed a few times, but never actually contributed.
Yeah,
so
she's
what
got
are we
a
talking
lovely
about?
Radio voice, you see. We should have had you on before, really. So still, what are we talking about?
Right, LGBT adoption and fostering event.
Oh, yeah.
So 10th of March at Bristol, there's an event, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, so you can just, like, go along and find out kind of more info about it.
Yeah, get tickets on Eventbrite. You can plan your tickets from there. So it's being held by Bristol City, Somerset, and Baines. So it's all part of them.
Well, that's pretty topical at the moment, isn't it? Because the Italian court have just... I think that's going to be on the news later, isn't it? The same-sex couple who are going to be allowed to adopt each other's children.
They've got that now as well, have they?
Well, that was on the... I think that's on the news, yeah. Okay. So that might be getting read out later. So I didn't want to spoof Ivan and Natalie there, but yeah.
It's all right, we do that all the time on this show.
Oh, right. So that's the event.
Is it a week long event? The whole thing, I think, isn't it?
I think there's a week long event. It's a national event.
Yeah,
and that's Bristol's component.
Interesting.
That'd be good. So is there a? I mean, I wouldn't know what the LGBT specific issues would be with around adoption. Is it?
I think it's for the couple. It's for couples, isn't it? It's for people there.
Oh, it's generally.
Yeah. You have to remember. I mean, a lot of LGBT people forget that we can actually adopt.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and of course.
And foster.
Yeah. Or foster. Yes. In fact, we know several people who have. Ben, who used to help with the show, has fostered several times.
Oh right.
And absolutely loved the experience. So you know, and it's nice you can, you know, give a kid a room in your home, and you know, rather than being in a kind of care home.
I kind of wonder how accessible that is, and that'd be interesting to find out even more. Is single people?
Yes,
yeah, that's really the big thing. It's not about anything else, as far as I can see. It's all about is it actually okay for single people?
Yes,
because LGBT, gay, straight, whatever.
But that'd be quite hard, wouldn't it, to be?
But I mean, how open is it for them though? Because that's anyway. We'll find out when we go along.
Yeah, I think you can, but I mean, I do know that statistically though, there are lots of kids. Waiting to be fostered or adopted.
Exactly,
and statistically, it's something like 1% a year actually get fostered or adopted. So, you know, it's...
But, yeah, again, is that because social services make it so difficult?
Well, they're reaching out. Yeah, so, you know, there was a time when they just said no to LGBT people.
Yeah.
So, we're good.
Anyway,
sorry.
Anyway,
we
need to go along, don't we, and see.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it sounds really informative and I think it's a really good thing. And, yeah, no, why not? Because I think... Sometimes trying to remember that, you know, our community also includes people with families and who want families and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, the hurdles are there. But definitely. 5th of March, 12 o'clock, as part of History Month, there's going to be a history walk.
Oh.
LGBT themed history walk. We haven't talked about these on the show so far. So they've already done a couple. They've already gone around to Clifton and also around Old Market sort of area. But there is going to be a South of the River LGBT themed Bristol history walk.
Ooh.
Yeah. So for all those and everyone goes, ooh, South of the River.
Yeah. So it's funny.
I
thought this whole South of the River thing was a London thing, but it seems to be really here in Bristol
I'm north of the river and never good south.
Well, yeah, I now have my allegiance to East Bristol, but I was always a North Bristol before that. So, yeah. But it's still north of the river. It's still not that side of the river.
I'm just Bristol, I think.
It's probably the easiest way. Yeah,
I've got friends in both, so I can't really take sides. Yeah. And besides which, I probably shouldn't on the radio either.
No.
Anyway, it's designed for LGBT people and friends. If you fancy going along, it's 12 o'clock, the 5th of March, so that is this Saturday. And if you want to meet outside St Mary Redcliffe Church, that's where they will be meeting up.
Sure.
So it seems like it'd be a really interesting, really nice excuse to get out and just have a walk. And walk, yeah. And a bit of history and a bit of and learning.
Well, it's warming up now, isn't it?
There's
snow on the way, isn't there?
March is going to be
horrible. Do you know what? It must be about 4 years ago now, I bought a sledge for Christmas and I haven't used it yet. So I haven't been any snow.
You see, visions of you on a sledge.
Oh, it's brilliant. I love sledging. It's just like fantastic.
I think my kids are broken there. It's just in case we can get new ones when the snow comes again.
When we were really little, we used to steal the tea trays.
The old tea tray. Yeah.
They used to go flying though, those things, because they were fiberglass. So.
What do I want to say? Compost bags. Compost bags are
really quite
good. The problem is if you hit stone, then you do find out about it very quickly. Well, anyway, so I really haven't done this event justice. All the details are on the website, and it's far more thorough than anything I could say, so I feel quite bad.
And they offer the fostering adoption thing too, because I've noticed they posted.
They're on Facebook as well.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent.
So
brilliant.
Thank you, nice people who've posted, and we have not done justice to your events. Please go check them out.
Cool. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Hi, this is Helen Scott from The 3 Degrees, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Rosala, I think that's how you say it,
something
isn't
like
it?
That. Yeah. That reminds me
Everybody's free.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, does he like? Is it even Romeo and Juliet?
Do you remember the film Romeo and Juliet that Leonardo DiCaprio did?
Yeah, the Baz Luhrmann one.
Yeah. Well, that song was in it, but it was they did it in a choral version.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was lovely. Anyway, there we are.
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome to the show, Darren.
Hi.
Hello, Darren.
Don't need an introduction these days. We have you on so much, don't we?
Wow.
We should do, really. Darren is a guy that basically holds Pride together every year, bless him.
Because it's sticky tape and...
It does eat up a huge chunk of your life doing Pride, doesn't it?
But, it is my all-consuming. It is my whole life.
I didn't recognise you almost because you've changed your hair colour.
I have,
Normally I see a blue streak and I know you're coming. There we are.
I was in with the lovely guys from John Hurst Hairdressing, which we love, and they were sorting my little bouffant out today.
And your hair. And my hair.
Oh, no. Here we go. Now, Pride obviously has been very successful over the last few years.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to be just as successful this year. But rumour has it there's a lot of changes coming this year.
There is, yeah. So, as you say, we've been very successful. And last year, I think for the third year in a row, record numbers attended the event. So
it was heaving.
It was heaving.
25,000, wasn't it?
It was a little bit more than that. So,
I mean, I don't even think you'd even officially started the stage and they were queuing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with us. You know, you've got the Pride Parade. There's 5,000 people that were on that last year.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, there's 5,000 people in your festival. But yeah, we were full in the afternoon. We had to do a one in, one out really early in the day. And that's just not a great experience for everyone.
No.
And the problem we've been seeing is that there's the ongoing work that's taking place in Castle Park. For those that live in Bristol, you'll see that work is finally actually started to happen.
Do you know what it is they're doing?
Oh, they're moving the playground. They're putting big seating in. They're putting a running track in.
Wow.
You know,
Seriously?
Yeah. Or making the pathways.
Are they doing anything with those old buildings at the end that are all?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's on the cards. So there's some.
Because they've been boarded up for ages.
There's work happening there. So even if they kind of the council just can't tell us what bits we can use, when the work's going to be finished.
Right.
And the site that we've been using is just not big enough for us anymore. Mm. We've outgrown it. So we're moving. We're moving. That's our big news.
And now you're able to tell us where that is.
Yes. So we'll be moving to the Bristol Amphitheatre and...
On the waterfront.
Yeah, and Millennium Square as well. So we're
really
expanding. You know, we need the space. So, yeah, we're making some big changes this year. It's a bit daunting because we've been in Castle Park for the last 6 years, so we know the space really well.
I was going to say, it's easier when you know the space.
Yeah,
it's
all a bit new and we're learning lots and we're having to go and go, oh, I didn't realise that bit of road was there, or there's boats at Moor here and things like that. So all these things we have to learn and take in consideration. But
is it going to be the same kind of thing? Are you going to have to fence off the whole area and keep an eye on the number of people in?
Because
they're quite separate, those two areas.
They are,
aren't they?
We're going to make sure that they don't feel separate. You know, we've got loads that's going to be going on between them. You know, the main stage is obviously going to be down in the amphitheatre,
right?
But we've got the cabarets.
Yeah, very nice sort of acoustics and stuff. Yeah,
no, it was purpose built for that reason. It was as an event space, so it's great for that. And we're going to have the views of the harbourside behind it. It's going to be great. We've got the cabaret stage down on Little Waterfront Square on the side, so that will link it to Millennium Square, where we're going to have our family area, where we'll be broadcasting the main stage on the big screen there. We're going to have a new dance stage there. Dance and performance stage is going to be taking place in Millennium Square. And we've got, you know, loads and loads of dancers already geared up to take part in that. And we'll also be introducing a new acoustic and spoken word tent so that people can have a bit of a chill out space and still have some fun performances. So that'll be taking place in Millennium Square as well. So actually, there's loads going on and it'll all link in really nicely and flow really well.
It sounds bigger.
Yeah.
Sounds an awful lot.
Well, we've been restricted for the last couple of years about, you know, the space that we can use. So we've just had to say, well, look, we can't put this extra space in and we can't do that. And we can't do that. We're just going to have to see what happens with the site. But now we've got the opportunity and, you know, it's time. Let's do it.
Okay. So that sounds like that's going to maybe require a bit more money. I mean, that, you know, getting down to the brass tacks of it all. So how's that... you know, how are we going to raise
We caught up with your other half, Freddie, at the history event, and because I was chatting to him, saying, you know, for years, because every year we've had like the Lord, not just the Lord Mayor, but usually the elected mayor, come on, shout out when we're broadcasting. We're like, come on, you know, you're giving loads of money to St Paul's and all the others. Where's the money for Pride? And they're always like, oh, well, you know, it's brilliant. Pride do a great job at fundraising themselves. And you're like, yeah, but we know, Darren, and we know it's really hard work.
Yeah,
doing that,
it is. Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, there we are, and the Lord Mayor turns around and says, we've just debated giving them some money. It's only a little bit, but we're giving them 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah,
we interviewed the elected mayor, George Ferguson, and he was like, oh, it's brilliant. Yes, we're finally getting to give you some. So,
yeah,
I mean, it must be really cool when you first found out that they were doing that. Did you know about it, or did they suddenly say, yeah, we've had a chat?
No, it was a surprise, because it's not something that we... Obviously, we have been lobbying to get money, and we've been trying to look at what pots exist that we can apply for, but the problem is they don't exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was not something that we pushed for, but the Bristol Labour Party very kindly put in a budget amendment for £10,000. So I kind of knew that maybe they were thinking about this, because they were asking me lots of questions, and they were I was being asked for information about, you know, the numbers we bring to the city, you know, our economic impact, how much money we bring into the city. You know, that's just under £1 million.
Wow.
And that was our 2014 data, so that'll be even more for last year. So I was being asked all these questions, so I thought something was going on. But no, it came as a real surprise, so and a very welcome one.
But I don't want to knock it, because it is really good they are giving you money, but I'm still guessing it hardly scratches the surface.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I was about to say. You know, our costs, are, of course, are going to be increasing. Just even moving the event has increased the costs, and actually site fees have increased this year. Our licensing is going to double up to over £2,000 to have a license to hold an event. So,
you know,
so the actual, the funding, yes, it's amazing. And what we have to remember, it's actually only a special amendment to a budget for this year. It's not ongoing funding. And it's about, well, probably less than 10% of the actual budget for the festival.
Yeah.
But it's a real help. And what it does mean is that we've money in the bank now to help us cover the costs that come out in advance, which usually I cover myself before we do all get all the fundraising started. So it'll be a bit easier on my pocket this year.
Yeah. yeah. Wow.
It's all these things that people, you know, because they go and they come to the festival and, you know, I think one year you worked out something like, on average, people have chucked 20p in the bucket each.
Yeah,
you know, and then they moan about things afterwards, and they don't know the little stories. Like, I didn't know that you were putting your hand in your own pocket.
You know,
to
we've got
to,
the money's got to come from somewhere. Like, we have, obviously, on Pride Day, we get loads of donations through very kindly, and obviously, people get our £5 supporter wristbands as well, which I'm sure we'll talk about shortly. but, you know, all that money comes in on the day. So, but actually, we have to spend loads and loads of money out in advance. You know, we have to book in all the fencing and all the toilets, and you know, that the fencing and toilets comes to £7,000 in itself. You
yeah,
know,
so all the production. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so. I mean, so yeah, I have noticed, say, on Facebook, there are some fundraisers already going on. You're doing nights at a place like the Queen Shilling, aren't you?
And, so we do a monthly fundraiser at the Queen Shilling, which is, kind of the last Friday of the month there. We team up with Glitzy Girls, so that's regular fundraising, and that's great. You know, it's really helpful for us, and Queen Shilling are very kindly, you know, giving all the door to us for that night. So
we're getting involved. We've got Justin Utley coming over.
Yeah, that's, which is fantastic. We love Justin. He was so great. Yeah. If you go onto his Facebook page, he's got his video of his performance at Pride.
He's
so good. Yeah. And so I'm really excited for his fundraising event in April.
Eighth of April. So tickets are on sale now as
they
well.
They are,
I'd get there pretty quick as well if you're listening, so I think that's going to sell out.
Yeah, not an intimate gig, but you know, it's a small venue. Yeah. So it's going to be a real experience.
So are we allowed to ask for some little spoiler? Do we know who's going to be on the main stage? Yet.
I do.
You do. Are we allowed to know?
So I've meant to bring a list of the people that I'm allowed to say as yet. You know, we've still got some people that we're not allowed to announce just yet because of deals with other events and festivals and stuff. But you've just played Rosala, which was one of my favourite songs. It was great. And it just so happens that Rosala is performing at Pride.
I did wonder.
Yeah. So, nice. Rosala.
So, hopefully, you'll hear that live in the amphitheatre. Yeah. So that'll be amazing.
That's going to be amazing. We'll certainly be feeling good after hearing that song. And then we've also got Wildflowers, which are an amazing Bristol band. And they've been touring with Robert Plant recently. Oh, okay. So, it's going to be, they are amazing. Yeah. And Radio 2 playlisters and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're really great to have them. We've got a girl group called Delta Moor. They'll be performing and I'm really excited to have them. Bright Light
is coming back. Oh, fab.
And I managed to drag him away from Sir Elton John, who he's been touring with, to come back to Bristol.
They were brilliant. I'm trying to remember when we last... I think it was when we were in front of the council.
He was there in 2012. It's really great to have him back. And you know, again, it's just one of those artists that have been fantastic and doing great stuff already and that we've had, but actually now look at his career, it's just really taking off. He's touring with Elton John.
I know,
but here he is coming back to Bristol, and his only performance in Bristol during his UK tour, because he doesn't live in the UK anymore. It's really exciting to
has he gone stateside, is he?
Yes, yeah. He is, yeah.
Well, they've had some really nice tracks come out, because we have been playing them on the show, so it'd be fantastic to hear some of those.
And new albums coming out this year as well, so we expect lots of new stuff as well, so that's been really good. And then, of course, we have, I'm sure, a big hit with our female listeners, but everyone, I'm sure, is Lucy Spraggan.
Oh, really?
Yes. And actually, that was a tip I got from our friend Jane from Elfest when she was there, and she just said that Lucy was so amazing at Elfest, you've got to get her down.
Did you see a performance when she was doing the thing for TV? Was it X Factor?
She was on X Factor,
quite some time ago.
But her initial first, when she went up on stage just for the guitar and did her song last night, it was brilliant.
It blew people away, didn't it? And, and she's another one that's just done so well.
She was in Gloucester last night, actually.
Sold out gig.
At the Guildhall. Sold out. Pretty much
the whole UK tour is sold out. So we're really lucky to be able to get her and bring her to Bristol. And you know what? You're coming along to a donation entry Pride event to see these big acts. And I think that's really, really great.
Yeah, that's a real plethora of talent assembled there, Darren. That's just the start.
You know, we're going to be announcing our headliners. We've got some, I'm really excited about some of the acts we still haven't announced yet. There's more to come from us.
And assuming you'll have us back, we'll be there. So you'll be able to listen on your way down and on your way home. And if you're stuck at home because you're ill for whatever reason, you can still join in with the atmosphere. So we've got to sort out how on earth we transmit from there yet, because we've never gone that far.
But
I'm sure we'll sort something. It will be a bigger mast.
You can get the Matthew boat, and they've got a very big mast. I'm sure you can just have someone standing at the top of in the crow's nest. Yes.
Carl, I've got a job for you. Anyway, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll have you back on again as more and more comes in.
And I guess one big thing to say is that with our £5 wristbands is to get them in advance and support Pride. And
Are they already on sale? Can you go get them now?
They're on sale now today. Bristol Ticket Shop again. And First Bus will be doing the free bus travel in Bristol Inner Zone, which goes all the way from Cribbs Causeway right the way down south.
That's right. So if you've got free a wristband, bus travel, you can get there free.
Yeah, so that saves you £3 already.
I remember having our photo taken in the rain for that last year.
And you should donate that £3 to Pride on the day, maybe. An idea, throwing it out there for the listeners.
Just get a wristband. It's easy. Yeah. Money off the bar and food as well. Mm-hmm. And the ferry on board with our wristbands this year as well. So you can get a ferry all the way from Hotwell or from Bristol Temple Meads straight to this festival, because there's a stop in the amphitheatre, isn't it? Indeed there is.
Wow.
So, go onto our website, bristolpride.co.uk, and you'll get all the information about the festival and those wristbands. And they're on sale now. I'd really suggest getting one.
Oh, fantastic. Cool.
Thank you.
It's going to be really fantastic. Fingers
excited.
Crossed for the wedding.
I'm nervous because there's lots to do, but I'm so excited. It's going to be great.
Well, we will catch up with you again soon, I'm sure. Great. Now, for those of you that would like a reminder, here she is herself. This is Lucy Spraggan.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The wonderful Lucy Spraggan. And as you heard, you'll hear her live at Pride. I'm looking forward to that.
That's a very short song.
It is a very short song,
2 minutes and 9 seconds.
Yeah, well, I think X Factor auditions are supposed to be like 2 minutes, aren't they? So. So yeah. I wonder if she might have a longer version of that she'll do on the day.
I mean, she's a good songwriter, isn't she?
That was her own song.
Yeah.
Of course, normally on X Factor, you go and you perform someone else's.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so to do your own, that's what makes it so different. So, very good.
Anyway, hello, news team.
Good evening.
Hello.
Are we all ready? Computers all working?
We're all high tech this week.
Darren's standing by in case you want to
interview. He's ready. He's ready to jump on my lap.
Yeah, I know. Here's the news. There's going to be a Pride in Bristol this year.
Cool. Okay, well, let's get the news headlines in.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 3rd of March 2016.
Sam Smith has been given an Oscar for Best Song in the 88th Academy Awards last Sunday. He accepted the award alongside co-writer Jimmy Napes for the song The Writing's on the Wall from the motion picture Spectre. Smith dedicated his award to the LGBT community during his acceptance speech, but appeared unsure as to whether he was the first openly gay man to receive an Oscar. In fact, he was not, with Elton John and Dustin Lance Black having received awards, amongst others, in previous years. Alicia Vikander managed to scoop up the Oscar for Best Actress in a Supporting Role for her part playing Gerda Elba, Lily's wife in The Danish Girl. This year's celebrations were hosted by Chris Rock, who focused on the controversial lack of diversity in this year's nominations overall. Trans singer Anoni, who was also nominated for Best Song, but who was not set to perform on Sunday, was one of a number of individuals who refused to attend the Oscars.
Pride Toronto has announced that Justin Trudeau will be the first Prime Minister ever to attend their Pride parade later this year. The Canadian Prime Minister has attended Pride events in both Toronto and Vancouver for many years, but not in his current role. Trudeau has been a strong supporter of LGBT rights and just this week has announced he intends to pardon late George Clippert, who was the last man to be convicted for homosexuality in the 60s before it was legalised in 1969. He had served a 4-year prison sentence for 18 counts of gross indecency in 1965.
The Christian Democratic People's Party's Marriage and Family Initiative, which would have made same-sex marriage in Switzerland nearly impossible to enact, has been quashed in a referendum on Sunday. It was only narrowly defeated, with a 50.8% of the population voting against the proposal. The initiative, had it passed, would have also seen unmarried couples receive only half the tax relief currently afforded to married couples. At the present time, Switzerland only allows civil partnerships and not same-sex marriage.
A court in Italy has become the first in the country to allow a lesbian couple's right to adopt each other's biological daughters. The tribunal in Rome upheld the appeals from gay rights groups on behalf of the women. That means that they will both be able. That they will both be regarded as parents of the children. The court said it had based its decision on adoptions in special cases, and will allow the two girls to have the same double-barreled surname, but not regard them as sisters. The case is the first of this nature to be heard since the Italian Parliament passed the Civil Union Bill last week.
Canada has approved the use of Truvada as a preventative measure to stop the transmission of HIV. Known as PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, Health Canada has now given the green light for the drug to be prescribed in this way and given to HIV-negative people who are most at risk. Canada follows in the footsteps of the USA, where the FDA approved the drug for the use to prevent HIV transmissions in 2012. Until now, there has been one reported case of a PrEP user contracting HIV. A recent study has suggested that PrEP could prevent 7,400 new cases of HIV in the UK if it was made available on the NHS.
For Made in Bristol, the Made in network of citywide television stations, including our regional Made in Bristol TV, went live on Tuesday night with a new talk show for the LGBTQI communities. Hosted by Peter Durant, the Lively programme goes out twice weekly between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Tuesday and Friday nights, and is simulcast across all the Made stations across the country. The programme takes the format of a chat show and focuses on national and international LGBT issues, plus advice and general discussions. Terry Starr, Shoutout's regular media anorak, commented, "I've always believed that the more LGBT people involved in broadcasting, the better for the representation of our communities.
It's great that local TV is championing the community and its aspirations.
And finally, the father of ITV's flagship television soap opera, Coronation Street, has passed away at the age of 79. Tony Warren died peacefully, surrounded by family and friends. Warren created Corrie in 1960, initially just designed to run in the Granada Northwest television area for 6 weeks. The show was such a hit that it quickly went national and is this year marking its 56th anniversary. Staff and colleagues described Warren as a charming and warm man who injected a certain northern gay wit into the characters he created.
For these news stories and more, visit our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout Radio, this has been Ivan Jackson.
And Natalie.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, this is Lucy Spraggan and you're listening to Shoutout Radio.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The lovely Adele. I like that mix. I like the original,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bit funky, isn't it, that one?
Dancing mix, that one. So.
Yeah.
Now, it was... It was LGBT History Month all throughout February. And of course, as you probably know, because we broadcast lots of different stuff on the show, and myself and Mary were there for a fair bit of it, including talking about our wonderful dear show, which was interesting, digging up all the history of it. Yeah. So, Mary managed to catch up with a fantastically successful guy, person, I should say, actually, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Because they identify as they... person by the name of Travis, who is a speaker at the event, and have a listen to what he had to say.
Travis, you've just done a fabulous talk.
Thank
for
you.
LGBT History Month. Tell me a little about yourself, because you're from Bristol originally, aren't you?
Yeah, so I now live in London. I'm the LGBT president at King's College London University, but it's been really special to be able to do a talk in Bristol because so much of my roots is here. I grew up in Hillfields on the council estate. Went to Down End School, started my first kind of young activist stuff at St. Mary Redcliffe with Envision and Each. So yeah, it's been really special to be able to come back and deliver a talk kind of where I feel like a lot of this has begun.
I think that something really special has happened here today for Bristol. And you made the point in your talk that we've seen talks today from several black activists, and that hasn't happened before, I think. Now, often you will see one person on a platform and it's like that person's there to represent the black community. We've had much more than that here.
Definitely. I definitely made that point because it's coming to the end of History Month. I've done a lot of talks and a lot of speeches this month, and I've been the only person of colour on an event, talking about being a person of colour on an event, and it was such a refreshing change to see four different people of colour speak about their experience, because then what we saw is that each four of us are different. As we already know, but so often when we talk about POC and LGBT narrative, we think we're saying the same thing. But we had Saba Chaudhry, a trans Muslim South Asian person, talking about their experience of being trans masculine. We had Lady Phil, an elder generational black lesbian woman who started UK Black Pride. Then we had the amazing Appleby talking about bi rights for black people with mental health and disability, and then myself coming from a completely different angle talking about class. And just like the white LGBT community is so diverse, what this really shows is that we need way more than one person on a bill, because there's so much diverse narratives in our groups and in our understandings. And I just always have to end it with, like, I can't wait for us to bring even more. Like, there's even more of us waiting to share that spotlight.
Another commonality that seems to have happened throughout the day is people talking about, when you talk about equality, you have to deal with everything together. You have to deal with race, you have to deal with sexuality and gender and disability and religion. You have to deal with it all together.
Most definitely. I really try when I'm speaking at these events that are often in, you know, prestigious places or art institutions or places where working class people aren't allowed in. I often, like, actively and aggressively state that, you know, I'm not just here as an LGBT person, I'm black, but I'm also grew up on a council estate, I'm also from a single parent family, you know, all of these things that come into it, because we can't separate them. And it's really important that people start understanding that, like, you know, we had someone today ask the question, oh, what would you pick between fighting for trans rights and fighting for racism? And it's getting to that understanding that the two come side and side together.
You mentioned that some people feel that they couldn't come to an event like this, that they might feel excluded. Can you talk a little bit about that so people can understand why that might be?
Definitely. So I think it's a really complicated issue. I think this event is doing it a bit better by being in the M Shed, but even that, we have to look at like what an art institution and what a gallery and what a place says to people from a council estate. Often we read the art institution as something that is like inaccessible to people from working class backgrounds because we see art as something that white, rich, privileged people do in certain areas. Also, even being connected to schools out. What happens if you don't go to school? What happens if you didn't go to school? But also I feel like the idea of talks and seminars and things like that often scare off a lot of people that maybe don't have the academic background to be able to, they might not feel like they can understand, they might not feel like they could come into a talk and realise that everyone's speaking, you know, not in these languages that are, like, are foreign to them. So I think what we can do to change that is where we advertise. Are we going to youth groups in certain areas? Are we going into Hillfields, Fishponds, St Paul's in Bristol and saying this is happening? Or, but more importantly than that, we know that LGBT people exist on those council estates. They should be given the platform to talk. Because we give certain accolade to like people that have done this, this and this, and you know, Milk is amazing and Cheryl is amazing and all these people, and Sabo is amazing for doing these like amazing milestones that we recognise, but also so is the trans person on the council estate that's still managing to get by. That deserves a talk too.
Obviously you're on Shout Out LGBT Radio now.
Yes.
We can potentially go to all of those places.
Brilliant.
We're on FM. We're online. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that we're doing the right things to interest those people, to make them feel that they can listen to us?
So I ran a radio show this year called Queer Talk, and it was in the university. And I was trying to figure out how to get out of the university walls. And I took my radio equipment and I went to them. I said, who wants to do a radio show? Give them the onus. So like, shout out, what would it look like if we went out of the studio, out of the M Shed, and instead went to the youth centre in Hillfields, the youth centre in St Paul's, and said, hey, do you want to have a 10-minute slot on my radio? How many 15 to 16-year-old kids are going to jump at that opportunity? But it's more the chain effect that happens from that. Those young black and ethnic minority kids are then going to tell their friends, like, hey, this link of Shout Out, I'm there. Come and listen to it. And then there's 10 more kids that know about Shout Out, and then they'll come next week and ask to be on it again. So it's about that chain, and it's about, like, saying, it's about changing the narrative. So often when I was younger, I would think all these amazing opportunities that were coming to me were, like, just that, amazing opportunities. But now that I'm a bit more conscious, I was realizing that they were always framed as, I've got this opportunity for you, this will be great for you, instead of saying, we'd be lucky at Shout Out to have these young kids' voices, we'd be lucky at Outstory Speech Day to have them at the M Shed. We need to flip it.
You're totally right. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Hi, I'm Heather Small and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's 7 years. Lucas years Graham. That's actually a remix. That's called the Night Moves mix. That one.
Right.
It's current number one though.
Wow. What do I know? I know nothing. Popular music.
Okay, you're not youth.
I'm you
not
do. Your... You must like it.
This. I like it.
Yeah, it's a catchy tune.
It's a catchy tune. It's dancey time.
I mean,
isn't it?
I am noticing. I mean, I'm 37 now. The charts do seem to move a lot quicker these days than
they do.
When I was a teenager.
Yeah.
You get a song at number one for a lot longer, I think, back then. But
yes, you did. So. Indeed.
Anyway, welcome, Mitch.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm grand. Thanks.
Cool. We thought we'd drag you in because obviously you heard Travis talking there.
Yes.
And you're basically kind of like Shout Out's section, for want of a better phrase.
Well, for want of a better phrase. But I mean, my actual job is a Bristol City Council, and I work with LGBT plus young people. So Travis is right. They're absolutely right. We do need to go out into youth centres and talk to young people and give them opportunities and present opportunities because, you know, their voices are really important. And luckily that is some of the stuff that I actually that is some of the stuff that is actually happening at the moment. You know, I go to all the different youth centres across the city, as I've got a citywide remit, and Travis is also right about the intersectionality and the discussion and the dialogue that we need to create around that, because so many young people aren't just one thing. They're not just BME, or they're not just LGBT plus. They are a whole complex layer of human being that we know, and that could include,
from being from working class backgrounds, as you know, as well. And those kids on the estate that, you know, that I've seen and I've talked to, you know, they are, you know, they are struggling and they are feeling isolated because it's much more.
Is that Mitch? Is that isolation more because it's a working class estate? Do you think than to a middle class youth?
I think there's something about access and assumptions to, you know, your ability to access something as well from whatever background. You know, I could call myself, you know, second generation underclass. You know, my mum was an Irish immigrant, and you know, for me, I was one of those kids that probably wouldn't have gone to the M shed because I would have thought, that's not for me.
So what he was saying, sorry, not he, but what Travis was saying then about, for example, talks and discussions and so on, you're saying that that would not necessarily appeal to, it's difficult language, but, you know, how they would. What I'm trying to say is there must be a divide between working class and middle class, let's say, activity, because that's what Travis was actually saying.
I don't know that there necessarily I think it's a perception.
I think it's about access. And I do go to Hillfields and I do go to St Paul's. I've worked out of the Docklands personally. I've run my groups from the Docklands, which is bang in the centre of St Paul's as well. So I've made myself known as somebody that can be, you know, can be approached. I run two groups, one in central Bristol and one in south Bristol for LGBT plus young people. And also there's an opportunity for somebody to come along and do youth correspondence, and we can train people up to do that. Okay. So if there's young people out there that are interested in that kind of voice, using that medium for their voices, then, you know, we are really, really looking forward to.
So how does that person who wants to do that contact you then? In the last second,
they can contact me.
They'll join one of the youth groups.
How do they contact you specifically then?
I've got my telephone number is 07 10 39 67 44, or it's michelle.mcmorrow, Michelle with two L's. mcmorrow@bristol.gov.uk, and I will be more than happy to give them more information. There's plenty of opportunities,
and if you didn't remember that, just go to Shoutout's website and use the contact us thing, and we'll promise we'll get it through to Mitch for you. So
and we would be lucky to have those voices, because the young people,
it was a nice point that he made there. We're not doing a very good job of this, are we? We do apologise, Travis. It was lovely to talk to you.
I'm sure they'll forgive you, because it's about actually trying to use the correct pronoun for people.
But hopefully we'll have a few more youth voices on the show.
Yes, that is one of my aims. Yay. So bring it on, come on. I've got a voice box. We can go together.
anyway, that is it for this week. Do remember, go get your tickets for the Justin Utley gig. We'll try and play a couple of tracks or so next week for you.
Okay, and that's it. Well, you've already said it. So go to tickets, basically, tickets.shoutoutradio.lgbt. That's it. You've said it all. Go on.
I didn't say that. Never mind. Anyway, we will be back next week when we're talking about hypnosis. That'll be interesting, won't it? So, but for myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.